the red button in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our lesson this afternoon is from the Revelation. It is chapter 19, and we'll read a few verses there that will help establish what we want to talk about. But in these things here, the one thing we will closely notice is that which is found in verse 13, that what the name is called of the one there that is revealed to us. So let's pick up from verse 9, if you will, please, in Revelation chapter 19. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and all thy brethren, they have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall tread, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on the thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This, of course, is speaking, this the Word of God is what he is called. John wrote, you know, in John chapter 1, or in 1 John, how that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came and lived and dwelt among us. And that's how that they could see and touch and feel and know that this is God. And God came to live and dwell, you know, in the flesh. We ought to always be mindful of that and realize we're not talking about some deity or some false deity or just some words, but that we're talking about someone that came from heaven and came and lived and dwelt upon this earth, and his name was called Jesus, called Wonderful, called Counselor, called Emmanuel, and also here concludes, he is the Word of God. So let all the world know that today, that he is the Word of God, not just some prophet or something of that nature, as he is often referred to. But the Word of God is spoken. The Word of God has spoken, is spoken, and we ought to be mindful of this one thing, to hear him, to hear him. What does he say about your life, and what does he say about my life? What does he say about heaven, and what does he say about hell? What does he say about eternity, and what is he saying to us tonight? It's the same message that has not changed in the 2,000 years since. It is the same message. But remember that Jesus spake the Word of God so that everyone could grasp it. The Word of God is not some hidden thing, you know. It's not put in some book that is hidden and only brought out from time to time. It's not put in something that collects dust whereby only certain people and maybe certain types of attire can bring it out and read it from time to time. It is out for all the world to know that it is from God, and we can read and understand what God wants us to know and to grasp and to do while living here on this earth. Just because the Word is spoken doesn't mean everyone is listening. Brother V.E. Howard used to love to hear him on WSIC Radio in Statesville, sponsored by the Broad Street Church of Christ. They sponsored Brother V.E. Howard for many, many years. He was a wonderful preacher. Preached so that anybody could understand it unless they had a help misunderstand it. And he would say, are you listening? Every little bit you'd hear him bring out that phrase, are you listening? It's a good question, isn't it? You've got an audience of people, and the preacher has prepared, and the Word is prepared, and the Word is here. But are you listening? Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Jesus referred to that. He said, he that hath ears, let him hear. That's what these things are for, hanging out on the side of our head, is to hear. Just like eyes are here to see, the ears are here to hear. There's a time to be quiet and to listen. A guy by the name of Ernest Ohm, I refer to him once in a while because I really appreciate the book he wrote. He worked for General Electric Corporation and wrote a book, studied listening. How much do people hear when they're listening? He found out that during today's time, we listen about 90% of the time. We're talking or in verbal communication maybe 10% of the time. Excuse me. But he came to this conclusion that even though you are listening, does that mean that you are hearing? Are you really grasping what the speaker is saying? I used to work with a guy, and he owned a company, and he'd say something like this. If you said, well, so-and-so said something, or he said, or she said, he'd say, who said it? When did you say it? And he'd want to know all the details. Who said it, and when they said it, and why they said it, and all like that. Nail it down. Don't just say he said, or I heard, or she said, or something of that nature. But when we talk about the Word of God, we need to listen. We need to make sure that we hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the time will come, the Bible says, when they will not, listen to everything. They will not endure the sound doctrine. But wanting to, hear something, they'll have their ears like tickled. They'd be wanting to just listen to something that they want to hear and nothing else. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth. That's very important to notice in those verses of Scripture there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They will turn away their ears from the truth. They do not want to hear the truth. But that's what we need. We all need the truth, because truth never changes. That's from Magnite, by the way. I've never seen it in print. But I know that facts change. But I know that truth does not change, because it's God's word is truth. So keep that in mind as we go through life. But some people just listen to what they want to hear and what they've always heard, nothing more, something less. Listen to the word of God. The word is written. So I have a question about that. Do we read it? How many people of this audience even read from the Bible in the last day, or the last 2 days, or the last 3 days? How many picked up the scriptures, the New Testament, or anywhere in the Bible and read? We need to read the Bible. How can we know, and how can we have these things in our mind, heart, and soul if we don't read it, if we don't study it? Study it. Study to show thyself approved. Use diligence to show thyself approved unto God. And that's why it is here, that we all can read, that we all can understand what the Scriptures is teaching us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, verse 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, that means every single verse, every word is given here by the inspiration of God. It is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, or to all good works. That's the way we can be furnished. That's the way we can be fit to teach the word of God, is by going to the scriptures. We need to know about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We need to be able to teach somebody else where to find these things, and that the importance of it. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, if you like. You will notice there that it is the first day of the week. Jesus has been crucified. He is dead. He is buried. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. As it is before dawn, and you will find that they approach the tomb there, that something is happening. Something has happened. And the tomb is empty. There has been an earthquake. Now, God sent these things. But it wasn't just the things that might happen, as happened in California and has happened several other places in the past week. But there was an earthquake. A great one, it says. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You see, Jesus was put in a tomb just the Friday before this, late in the day. They did not want the bodies to be hanging on the cross during the Sabbath day, so they hastened the killing of the other two that was crucified with him, but Jesus was already dead. So Simon of Cyrene came and got the body of Jesus, and they buried it in this tomb. And there was a great stone put apart, in front of the door of the tomb. and they sealed it. Not only that, they had soldiers there to guard the tomb so it would be secure and nobody could come in and steal the body of Jesus and claim, well, he's resurrected. But God did this in an open way. But reading further there in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciple that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. This is important to know, because people have got to know about not only the life of Jesus, what he said and did and proclaimed, but also that he died and it was for a purpose. His death was to shed his blood to redeem us, all peoples, before him and after, for our sins. Death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, by which you are saved unless you believe in vain. So it's important. And people need to know that. They need to read and know what they're reading. Do we read it? That's still the question. Now, the word, the Bible says, is a person. It's like a person. Do we follow him? He's not some mysterious thing, a mysterious person, but he is as if he's living and breathing today, because we have the personification of Jesus Christ revealed to us in the book, you know, the Bible, New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then to verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given. The law was there. It was a duty for those people to follow, these that were called Jews, Israelites, the Hebrew children. But it was a duty for them, was it not? We, by faith, follow Jesus Christ. Jesus could cause people to follow him. This was the great power that emitted from him as he spoke. Two fishermen there. He says, come, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. That's what we need to do. We need to follow Jesus Christ. Think of the power of Jesus here on the earth. There is a storm up. One day, they are in a boat. The disciples are there. Jesus is in the front of the boat sleeping. And the storm is up, and it's a terrible thing to be caught out in a storm, especially on the water. Thunder, lightning, it's bad enough, you know, when you're in the conference of a building, isn't it? I had a great aunt one time, and she was so terrified of thunderstorm, she'd go crawl under the covers, jump into bed, go in there head first, down under the covers, about near suffocate to death before that storm passed over. But she was scared, just like these people when they came to these guards there at the tomb. They were frightened. They were scared, terrified. Well, we need to be. But these disciples were terrified. They were followers of Jesus. Now notice what Jesus did to the storm. They go up and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course, he said the things that I want to refer to here to show you the power of God. That he even has power not only of death, as we saw there when Jesus was brought forth from the grave, resurrected from the grave, but he has power over the storms, the wind and the waves and whatever. Peace, be still. Three words. Peace, be still. Now we can have that peace in this life. There may be troubles all around us. We're following Jesus. We can realize that this word can comfort us. This word can edify and build us up. This word can make us a lot stronger than the average human being, because it is God living in us, and that's what we want. Jesus models what being a child of God should be. By looking at his actions and following him, we take the word from the pages here, and that's what we ought to be doing. Remember what James said, and James, as by inspiration, James 1, verse 22, but be yourselves doers of the word and not hearers only. So many people are not even hearing the word, much less doing it. I've been reading a book here recently. Really appreciate the depth to which this book is reaching into your mind and makes you think. And it talks about you're exposing some of the problems of the world today. Why, for instance, the Islamic nations hate us so. They don't hate the American people. That's what used to surprise me. A few years ago in Frontline or some of them, they were in Iran. And the people would just flock around them. The girls on one side and the boys on the other side, because that's the way they're associated in their culture. And they don't mingle until after they're married, and then with just each other. Anyway, they talked about how they liked American people, and they were flabbergasted, the Americans. They couldn't hardly understand it. What they don't like what the government is doing, how that we support dictators over there, pour tons of money in under them. They don't like pushing homosexuality upon the people. They don't like no-fault divorce, just any time you want a divorce. They don't like, in other words, they don't like the lies and the things that America is trying to push off on the nations of the world. You know, whether it be Amnesty International was one of the things. There was about 10 of these different groups, George Soros and his group. They don't like this, telling them the things of morality that they don't approve of. And here in America, I keep seeing people that seem like we approve of these immoral things because we're not doing nothing about it. We're not saying nothing about it. I don't encourage nobody much to listen to radio preachers, TV preachers. But sometime if you want to waste a good hour or two, do this. Turn one on and see if they tell you anything that is immoral in this country today. They're going to be pretty bland about it. They just say, seek the love of God. Go on about your daily life. He's great. He's wonderful. That's about it. They won't tell you what sin is. But the Muslim nations are totally against abortion on free will. They're totally against homosexuality and it being flaunted and made the legal laws of the land. And this one here is one of the ones that they hate the most of all, which is being crammed down our throats here in all of these states. And that's marriage between men to men and women to women. God doesn't approve of it. We shouldn't approve of it. You know, it's time that we look to the Word of God and follow Jesus. The Word is eternal. Are we ready for eternity? So we'll move on and look at this for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Verse you're familiar with, I'm sure, from time to time you hear it. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and the marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Did you know that? That the Word can judge thoughts? It can bring you up to conclusions, can't it? By what we think, the Word can tell you if it's right, righteousness. It can tell you if it's wrong or sin. The Word does that. That's what it's all about. It is powerful. It will endure throughout all time. We won't leave this earth, our spirit, our soul, our body, separate and apart from the Word. Because now what I'm referring to is this. Because in the end, when we stand before the judge on the judgment day, there is one thing that's going to judge us. It's how we lived and what we thought, what we taught while living here on this earth. You know what it is? The Word of God. John 12 and verse 48. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. But I think, you know, if you really look at that, it is comforting words right there. We know how we're going to be judged. We it's not like those tests you had in high school when the teacher said, all right, close your books. We're going to have a test. And you were all scared. You didn't know what the test was going to be like. And you felt like crawling under your desk maybe sometime because you probably didn't think you was too well prepared. But we can be prepared. It can be a comfort to us just when God says, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Because that shows that God is fair and just, compassionate. He's not going to bring us in there to surprise us. He's just going to look at us by this book right here, the Word of God. You don't have to study a whole stack of books. See how that's the New Testament. It also has the Psalms in it. It also got bookmarks throughout it. It's not that big, is it? If you read 10 chapters a day, it only takes you 27 days to read it from the Matthew, the beginning there, to the last amen of Revelation. You can learn a whole lot by doing it. And God is going to judge you by that and how you've lived according to this. Are we ready for the judgment day? That's the question. His name is called the Word of God. But are we ready to face the Word? If the Lord called us today or tonight, if tomorrow's sun didn't rise for us, would we be ready to stand before the Word of God? John 12 and 14, see, keep reminding you of that verse. But each of us will have a final judgment based on the Word of God. And that's how we'll be measured. And not only us, not just Christians, every single person, man or woman, will be judged by the same word. Whether they're Filipinos, they're Chinese, whether they live in Canada, or whether they live in Timbuktu, it'll make no difference. We'll all be judged by that same beautiful word. Pure as when Jesus brought it here on the earth, it'll be lasting and it'll be there for us. But are you ready to live like Jesus? Are you ready to follow him? Are you ready to hear him? Are you ready to go spend eternity with him? But as, you know, believers, we're not in love with just the book. We're in love with what the book reveals. That's the word of God itself. It's what's in it. And that's what we ought to always keep in mind. Don't live in the past and just say, well, I'm that because of my papa or grandpa or whatever it is. I was reminded of something myself the other night, and I told a brother up there in Abilene about it this morning. I was listening to some music the other day, and there's certain music I like to hear. I love a lot of kinds of music, really. But anyway, this song was talking about the brush arbor by the side of the road. Got a nice old tune to it. It's bluegrass, you know, type song, music. And this guy was singing that thing, you know, and you could tell what his heart was really in. But it comes to one place in that song where it says this. As he was going down the road and he saw this brush arbor by the side of the road, and it brought to him the revelation where that he found salvation. You can't find the revelation of God for salvation in the book of Revelation, much less by some brush arbor out here going to bring you and give you a revelation. The revelation of God is in all the words of this book. It's in the first words of Matthew all the way through to the last amen of Revelation, the book. But it's here that we can understand what we must do to become a child of God, to become part of the Lord's church. And if you're a part of the Lord's church, remain there. Don't let nothing separate you, because there's nothing on the earth that can separate you unless you let it. Not princes or principalities or powers or anything. You have heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, then obey that gospel. The gospel is the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, all of these things is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to hear and believe. Because Jesus said, if you read a little further there in Matthew chapter 28, where we said a while ago, go ye into all the world. Did he not? Going there into all the world, talking about this gospel and to his disciples. But the book says this in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, hear the words of Jesus. Remember? Hear? Got them old ears out there. Let's hear. All power. Power is from a Greek word, dunamis. Dunamis, we get the word dynamite from it. All power, authority, is given to me both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Therefore, wherefore? Precedes a conclusion. It follows evidence. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You want to stand before the judgment day with Jesus there? He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. But if you deny him before men, he will deny you before the Father, which is in heaven. That's what the gospel plan or salvation is all about. It's hearing the word of God and doing it. And once you have confessed him, confess that salvation is in Jesus. You've got to repent, though. Repent. Repent goes all the way through the scriptures, does it not? Jesus taught repentance. It goes all the way into Revelation to seven churches of Asia. Repent. I have something against you. Repent. That's what we need to do. Turn from and turn to. Turn to God. Always to God. Because that's where our strength is. Turn to God by repentance. And be buried in the waters of baptism. Throughout this book, we see, the New Testament, we see about baptism. That's how we come into Christ. Belief is unto Christ. Confession is unto Christ. Repentance is unto Christ. But baptism is into Christ. Into Christ's body. For by one Spirit, it was revealed to the Corinthian church, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Everyone! Rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow, Filipino, Chinese, American, whomever, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that's the body of Jesus Christ, the church which he is head of, Ephesians chapter 4, and all the other places it teaches. And this baptism, Romans 6, and these other verses we could read and maybe should, but I'll pass it up tonight. You know where they're found. Please read them at your convenience. Romans chapter 6, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 and so forth show us that this baptism brings us into Christ. That's where our sins are remitted. We want to get rid of sin. We don't need to keep that hanging around us. But if you're not a Christian tonight, we certainly want you to become one. We haven't gone into much detail, but we could if you have any questions at all. If you're a child of God that's gone astray in any way, as is told in Acts chapter 8 to Simon the sorcerer, he asked that the church pray with him, or Peter and those to pray with him and for him. But we'd be glad to do the same thing. But let it be known if anybody has any need as we stand and sing together.